Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Thank you.
many of you are grateful to God? Lift up your hands. Would you join us singing? Come.
Sia bonga, sia bonga. Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Anybody want to join us to say thank you? Come on.
Sia bonga, sia bonga. Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Come on.
Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Wave your hands like this.
Sia bonga, sia bonga.
Good evening and welcome to Starbright. We're live on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome all. Wow, we thank God for this day. We thank God for what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's yet to do. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the praise. Father, my God, we're truly grateful. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. You woke us up this morning. We are grateful. You've caused us to see this moment in this day. We are grateful. Father, my God, for the breath in our lungs. We are grateful. For life, Father, my God, for hope. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, because indeed you are doing a new, a marvelous thing. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We adore you, Jesus. There is none like thee, Father of my God. There is none like thee. We look to you because you are where our help comes from. We look to you. We fix our eyes on you because you are indeed where our help comes from. You are our very present help in times of need. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, King of Kings. We thank you, Lord of Lords. Adonai, we praise your holy name. When we can't think of what to do, when we can't think of what to say, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Jesus, because we can look to you. We can look to you. Father, my God, you have the answers to every query. You have the answers to every question. Father, my God, I lift those who have been waiting, and they've been waiting and waiting, Father, my God. And there doesn't seem to be anything happening. Father, my God, I ask that you answer their cry, answer their plea, answer their petition, Lord Jesus. Father, my God, King of Kings, those that are weary, weary, Lord Jesus, Jesus of waiting, weary, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, my God, even of believing. Father, my God, let your strength rise up in them, Father, my God. Lord Jesus, and let them know weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That, Lord, you are creating their morning in the name of Jesus. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, those are anxious, worried, fretful. Father, my God, that are being led by their emotions. Father, my God, King of Kings, let them know the joy of the Lord is indeed their strength, that you, O Lord, are with them. Oh, as the scripture says, open the eyes to see. Open the eyes to see that there's more for us than against. Father, my God, open their eyes to see that there's more for them than against. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we praise you. We worship you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. You know, there are times and seasons, and this season is a bit of what I call a squeeze point. But you know, in a squeeze point, the rubbish comes out and there's healing that can be happening. In a squeeze point, you know, you see God's glory being revealed. In a squeeze point, we need to look to Jesus and forget about everything else and concentrate on him. In a squeeze point, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope, because Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our help, in whom we can look to. Jesus is the only one in whom we can look to. He makes a way. He makes a way where there appears to be no way. He opens doors. He does it. We look to him. If you are believing God for a new job, let us look to him for that job. Let us look to him for the right job. You don't want any old job. You want the right job. You want the right job. If you're looking, believing to change your job roles, you need God's direction so you enter the right one. If you're looking, because you know you can have a job, and what you'll see inside there, you'll even wonder why you are even, you know, all sorts. So we want the right place, right environment. Now, I encourage people not to leave before Jesus says to leave. To save for God's timing. Even when you think nothing is happening, let us look at all these stories, you know, the testimonies in the Bible. Moses had a desert part before he led the people. You know, David was roaming around, sometimes pretending he was crazy, and before he became the king. You know, Joseph was sold. He had a part that just looked like, what is this all about? So there are those periods where it seems dry. Don't let the dry period push you before the expected time to the next season, because we don't want to go to the next season ill prepared. You want to be prepared. Now, sometimes in this season, we can get caught in our emotions, what we think, what we feel, what we think, what we feel, what we think, feel, feel, think. And those things are not wrong, but if we dwell in those places too long, it can become twisted, because it's not the truth, and it's not taking us to our destiny, you know. And we have to be aware, as a man, as the man thinketh, so is he. You know, you can start off well in your thinking, and then you start going off and off and into a tangent and a place you even wonder how you got there, because it just, the mind can lead us down paths that we shouldn't go. So I want to encourage that. Yes, it's not that you must just carelessly go into things, but we need to really think about it and actually petition the throne of grace and mercy for the answer to the question, is this for me or should I look for another? You know, even when some of you are believing to get married, we need to ask the Lord, is this the one or should I look for another? You know, something dropped in my heart. Sometimes, you know, it says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. Sometimes your criteria can be off. Hate to say it, the criteria for a wife is not the same as criteria for a girlfriend. One is till death do us part, one is temporary. It's just for now. Okay, as the mood takes me, for now. Now, so the criteria is different. If we look at the wife material and we're expecting a girlfriend, no, we're not going to get the same thing from it. So we have to actually look at things. So sometimes our criteria are off. We have to ask God, show your criteria. If you're believing to get married, show your criteria to the Lord and ask God to fine tune it. Sometimes, you know, if you're, it can appear like a dry and desert land. You know, I remember asking from early on, I could not, you know, I did not want to have this emotional roller coaster. I said to myself, you know, I don't know if you can cope with this in our emotional roller coaster. So from early on, I used to pray for a husband. I tell you, it became a dry and desert land. It was like even the tumbleweeds had gone on vacation. There was nought there. But, you know, when I think about it, it was then very obvious when Pastor arrived. And he was so like on point. He was so determined. It kind of swept me away with it. His decision. This was, there was no persuading him or no cajoling. He knew what he wanted and that was it. And I remember him telling me, I'll wait for you to catch up. I said, ah, catch up? What is this? I'll wait for you to catch up. And I thought, I'm going with this because my spirit man. Now, I didn't go according to what I thought and felt. I went according to my spirit man. I've shared with you before regarding job changing. I was in a job and it went a bit funny, but there was something I just felt I needed to quit. I had nothing to go to. You know, someone said this was not wise. It's a foolish. What about your bills? What about your this? What about this? Is before Pastor and the children. But I just felt I needed to quit. I quit my job. And after 5 days of relaxing, waking up when I wanted to, praying, studying the word and things, I said to the auntie of Starbright, I wonder what I should do next. She made a throwaway comment like, go to an agency. You've been doing this course, go to an agency and see if they can find you something. And lo and behold, they found me something where I was going quite often, and I found something else for myself, and there the job was. Now, it then led me into teaching. Now, if I hadn't, I can assure you and reassure you that, you know, I might not have been, I might have missed some doors of opportunity. Now, I say this because the timing had to be just right. Because when I left the job, after a few months, they started making people redundant. And I was like, wow, I kind of timed this well. Though it looked like everything was flourishing, a lot of the people were made redundant. And I thought, wow, God. So it's very important. Now, sometimes, you know, I talked about the squeeze point. Sometimes we respond, we just have a knee-jerk reaction at the squeeze point. I want you to actually think and pray and pray and try and hear God. What is he saying in this squeeze point? And some of you are going to have to stick to feel that pressure, because it's going to birth something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because, you know, in giving birth, it wasn't a stroll in the park. Neither was it pain-free. Neither was it like an easy journey. So when God wants to birth something, and the Bible is full of testimonies of things being birthed, there is a squeeze point. So you might be, and don't compare yourself with another person. Please do not compare yourself, because the Lord is taking us on different journeys, okay? Because there are different things that he wants to do in our lives, different, and we're different people. So, you know, my squeeze point is not going to be the same as your squeeze point, not going to be the same as the producer's squeeze point. It's not the same place. So we can't compare. And it does say in the scriptures, comparing one to another, you're not wise. And to be honest with you, you all are wise people. You are all wise people. So I'm encouraging that they sometimes, you know, when giving birth to the worship leader, it was like bear down. And I thought, what is bear down? What does that mean, bear down? But what happens is to go with the flow of pushing at the point, but you don't push in. There's a certain way to push. Now, when I was a lot younger, push was an acronym for pray until something happens. So I want you to bear down and push, because God wants to birth something in your life. You know, we've been looking to, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. God wants to birth something, but it's not going to be like somebody else's. It's something too unique to yourself. Now you are going to give birth to something new, and start declaring it over yourself. Start declaring it over your thinking. Start declaring it over your situation. Start declaring it over that something new is going to be birthed. Something new is going to be birthed. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Something new is going to, I say to the situation, you ask the Lord to birth. Now, with that, it takes you on a journey, it takes you on a path. And I was telling to one of the girls that this morning that sometimes what happens is that we sing some songs, and I was saying, who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. He turns my life around. He makes a way where there is no way, Jehovah. And I was telling her that the Holy Spirit prompted me, like, you know, he turns my life around. And I went, wow, that turning around may not be the way I perceive a turning around. Because when God has a hand on turning around, David was anointed king. That turning around, he didn't realize that javelins and all sorts were going to be launched at him from the king. He didn't know the king was going to despise him. He didn't know that he was going to be best friends with the king's son. He didn't know of all that was going to go through. He turns my life around. Hannah, all she thought was she wants a child. But when she gave up in terms of her own, her own perception of what the child will be, the child said, I give the child back to you. Turn my life around. She gave birth to the child. What she longed for, she gave it back to the Lord. To Eli, who had, in the outside world, had not done a good job with his sons, but was able to impart something into Samuel. He turns my life around. Mary, the mother of Jesus, we don't see it in the word, but I'm sure it wasn't easy. I'm sure it was not easy having, you know, a child at that age, being pregnant before they've done the wedding ceremony, all those kind of things. So there's sometimes what we perceive God and the way he's going to do it is not the way he's going to do it. So that's why I don't want us to overthink our own thinking. That's why I don't want us to, you know, like, head focus into us a way. This is the open door. This is the open door. Because a door behind you may open because God wants to navigate. Now, in one of the books that I love, and some of you know the book I love, you know, Hinds Feet. I have read Mountain Spices, and that's on a different angle, you know. And I encourage anyone that wants to, as you're led to the book, read Mountain Spices. I want to read the other ones, but I digress, coming back, is that Much Afraid was journeying. And she was journeying, and she felt at one point that she'd almost got to the high places. But the path she was directed to led her like downwards. She said, but I'm going up to the high places. It's almost like, where is this? And I paraphrase, where is this taking me to? But she had to trust the one that was leading her, the Good Shepherd, on this journey. That through the journey, the ups and downs, the destination was sure. Now, through the journey, the ups and downs, your destination is sure in the name of Jesus. But we have to look to Jesus for where he's taking us. It may not look like it. At the moment, you might be looking at, oh, Lord, my health, oh Lord, my marriage, oh Lord, my children, oh Lord, carry it all to Jesus. Jesus has the final say, and he has the answer to every query. He alone has the answer. He has the answer. I also want to encourage to ask the right question. Hannah made the right statement. What statement? What question? What are you posing? What are you saying? What are you declaring? Are you declaring, it is well with me? I'm the head and not the tail, and for signs and wonders. And then in another breath saying, oh, X, Y, and Z about yourself. We have to you know, ask the Lord to help us so we don't erase that which God is building with our own tongue. We don't erase that which God is building with our actions, with our thinking, with our thought process. We want our thinking process to align with the Lord. We want our saying process to align with the Lord. We want everything to align. Now, we're going to take a break. And after the break, we're going to come back and look more into this. We'll be back after the break. That is our King. Who are we talking about? That's our King. Abel, our deliverer, our savior, the lover of our soul. Then why do we do it by ourselves? You know, why do we do it by ourselves when he's our all in all? I encourage you to look to Jesus. Now, I wonder, all that I said previously, it was not planned. So I want to look at the scripture that had it opened all this time, like, you know. And it's Matthew 2. And it says, right, Matthew 2, I'm going to start from 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of Matthew 2. Because I want us to see that, you know, if we look at the beginning of, it might not be this version. I'm just having a look. You know, in Matthew 1, it says in 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife because he was going to divorce her quietly. Because the angel had appeared to Mary, and then at a point, the angel appeared to Joseph and he followed the instructions. It would have been quite, you know, maybe you would call it culturally incorrect for him to take a woman that was pregnant to be his wife. But he did. He followed the instructions. So I'm pointing this out because we're in the season of any love, I'm sure. Because people are people. There have been whispers. Oh, really, should you take her? You know, she's pregnant. She's disclosed she's pregnant. Maybe family members would have been talking. And he'd have felt that squeeze point. But at the point he heard the angel and he followed the instructions. Then it says in Matthew 2, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. Now it goes on to even the declaration in verse 6, O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. You know, this is what was declared. So the word had gone forth. In our situations, in our circumstances, the word, it goes forth. But we have to agree with it and follow, trust it. Trust the one who has said it, that it will come to pass. But we have to do what is required for it to come to pass. It says in 7, then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asked them to come see him. And it goes on. Right, okay. So, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So God, they had gone to Herod, they'd explained to Herod, but Herod said, when you find Jesus, come, this king, come and let me know so I can bow down and worship. They might have suspected, but they thought, oh, well, okay. But God had gone in a dream and warned them, and they followed the instructions. Okay? Verse 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt, where the child and his mother, with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to kill the child. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. So everything was in place. I called my son out of Egypt. So the word went before, you know, declaring about Bethlehem. The word went before declaring about Bethlehem and about the star. It went, all this word had gone beforehand. Then the Lord spoke to the wise men in the now. Then he spoke to, angel spoke to Joseph in the now. And then it fulfilled the word of what had been sent before, spoken through the prophets. So everything is lining up to fulfill the word of the Lord. So when we are looking to what to do in our press points, pinch points, and I talk about that is because sometimes that's the hardest time to hear, and sometimes it's the most difficult, because with our, in our pinch points, there's confusion. The enemy is saying all sorts. You know, it sounded reasonable, I'll put in quotes, Herod wanting to come and worship. The wise men might have thought something in it, but thought maybe not. Maybe there's nothing in it, maybe. But with having the dream, they thought no, and they went another way. Then all this word has come in your life. In your life, I want you to think of the word that's come. If you can't remember, dig it out. And I want you to stand upon that word. Stand upon that word. Now, sometimes it's hard to know, oh, what does that mean by stand upon that? Believe in God that sent the word that is going to do what it says. But as you're believing, you need to do what God is asking you to do in the now, because all roads lead to that destination. But if we don't do what God is asking us to do, it's not going to take us there. So, for example, I use myself as an example, because then, you know, it's quite. I'm at a place where as I've shared with you before, I'm on a journey. Now, Aspects wants to just stop in this journey and say, I can't even. There's always something going on in terms of life is busy. I don't mind life being busy, but life is busy. And in these pinch points, if I'm not careful, the enemy just comes in with all sorts to create some havoc. And you just want to, many times I just think, I can't even. Then I realize, God, you have brought me thus far. You will see me through to the end. I just need to stay and do what I need to do. And that came very strong. And I was sharing with the grandma of Starbright. You know, the grandma of Starbright was saying, I can do all things through Christ. I said, no, I can't do it. But what I can do is stay in the place that he has asked me to stay, because it's going to lead me to where he's taking me to. If I now start going merry-go-rounding, I'm not going to get to the destination. So regardless of the storms and the winds and the waves, I've learned and I'm learning that I just need to stay on that path. I don't need to sit down. I don't need to take a rest bait, break. I don't need to do all that. I just need to stay on the path because it's taking me somewhere. Now, sometimes when we're on the path, anything that happens that, you know, some might disagree, some might raise correction, so whatever, it can it can feel a lot bigger than it is. But you ask God to help you to stay balanced on it. Now, can you imagine Joseph thinks, right, I've taken a wife, she's pregnant, now had a child, let's do happy ever after. Oh no, now I've got a prompting from the angel that they're looking to kill the child. After, it must be, wow. But he responded. Now it says, when in verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, get up and take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. So it wasn't a case of, oh, this is the destination, this is where to go, and left it. The angel came back and said some more. It says, but when Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother, but when he learned the new ruler was Herod's son, he was afraid. Then in another dream, he was warned to go to Galilee. So they went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets concerning the Messiah. He'd be called a Nazarene. Now, I want us to pick out the fact that it wasn't a straight journey to the promise. And this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And it wasn't a straight journey to the promise. There was a lot of obstacles, you could say. There was a lot of the enemy trying. And this is Jesus. So, in our lives, let us not be surprised when the enemy tries to push back, when the enemy tries all sorts. But we know the end of the story. Jesus wins. We know the end of the story. There's a resurrection. So even in our lives, the end of the story is good. But we have to follow the instructions and discern when God is saying and move accordingly. What last did the Lord say? And have you followed that instructions? What last did the Lord say? And did you follow after that leading and prompting? Did you? I remember when I had a conversation with, and I've shared it with you, with Pastor for the first time, a lengthy, proper conversation. Not good afternoon, Pastor. Good morning, Pastor. No, that kind of conversation. You know, when you go to a church, you see the pastor, don't know their name, you say, good afternoon, Pastor. Good evening, Pastor. And if you're me, you quickly walk by. Let's just walk by quickly. That's what I used to do in those days. But the first time I had a conversation, it was on a coach, and the church that it was a visiting church I used to attend. I used to visit a church, and they were going for an all-night prayer in London. That I said I would go catch up. They were going to leave earlier. I couldn't leave work. They were going to do that. Fortunately, by God's grace, they left late enough that I could get there. Now, I said thank you. All that day, the illness that I had was strange and something weird. I did not feel well. I felt a bit sick. I thought, am I going to throw up? Am I going to... All sorts of things were happening. And I say this because I would have been very justified to go home, lie in my bed and curl up and say, I'm not well. To go on a coach trip with it bouncing up and down. My stomach was not... It was just like very strange. But I said to myself, I am going. Why? Because, you know, the auntie of Starbright had gone to the program and 6 months previous and came back all giddy and excited. And said they sang in Spanish. And she was just, you know, when you've been in the present, just elated. I said, Mia, I want that too. So I followed, not knowing the Lord had set me up. Now, the enemy tried all sorts for me not to go. And I say this because there are times you're going to have to hear the Lord. Not sometimes. You're going to have to hear the Lord regardless of what the storm is saying and follow. It will die down. As the coach went, as we went on, the auntie of Starbright kept checking, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, you know what? I'm going to be okay. I think I got a black cup of tea and I was just sipping it there quietly. I said, I'm going to be okay. I'm actually okay. And it's efforts, the enemy's efforts, it came to naught. So I want to encourage you to fix your eyes upon Jesus. The storm will pass. It has to pass because you are walking through to get to where God is taking you to. You are walking through to get to where God is taking you to. Now we've come to the end of the program, and I want you to remember Matthew and the journey and how Joseph listened to the voice of the angels. Listened. And in this point period of your life where you think, what is going on? I want you to tune into the Lord, tune into the Holy Spirit, tune into the message the Lord is saying. And hear his voice and follow after that leading. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week. And bye for now.
Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great, awaking supernatural faith. Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great, awaking supernatural faith.
Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great, awaking supernatural. Awakens.
Adonai, manifest yourself.
He's mighty on me.
Oh, oh, oh.